Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. You are like a captain of a ship in a great ocean, and you can direct us to our destination. Thus address the godly personality Devarishi Narada, greatest of the philosophers, devotees, began to speak. Purport. There are different types of philosophers, and the greatest of all of them are those who have seen the personality of Godhead and have surrendered themselves in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Among all such pure devotees of the Lord, Devarishi Narada is the chief, and therefore he has been described herein as the greatest of all philosopher devotees. Unless one has become a sufficiently learned philosopher by hearing the Vedanta philosophy from a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot be a learned philosopher devotee. One must be very faithful, learned, and renounced. Otherwise, one cannot be a pure devotee. A pure devotee of the Lord can give us direction towards the other end of the nescience. Devarishi Narada used to visit the place of Maharaj Yudhishthira, because the Pandavas were all pure devotees of the Lord, and the Devarishi was always ready to give them good counsel whenever needed. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakayam Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So thank you again for the opportunity to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't feel competent to speak, but nevertheless, I'll try to speak something for my own purification, and hopefully devotees can take something and apply it in their devotional life. So again, I would like to request the blessings of the present Vaishnavas, those which are online as well. Vancha kalpa turupyascha kripa sindhu bhya evacha patitanam pavinebhyo vaishnavyo namo namaha anantakoti vaishnavrindaki. So here we can see, as Radha Govinda Prabhu was speaking yesterday, this is a conversation where Maharaj Yudhishthira is speaking to a certain point. He's saying, you are like a captain of a ship in a great ocean, and you direct us to our destination. And now there is a kind of a bridge to another verse. Thus addressed, the godly personality Devarishi Narada, greatest of the philosopher devotees, began to speak. So we can see in the purport of Srila Prabhupada that he mentioned a few very interesting points. One of them is hearing, Shravanam. Another point was to see the Lord, Darshanam. So by the churning yesterday with my mentor, His Grace Parama Karuna Prabhu, he gave me this very wonderful kind of a vision and a very wonderful point, which I think is quite significant. How Shravanam, how to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is much more powerful and is to a certain degree prerequisition to have darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because, for instance, when you look at the deities, if you haven't heard about them anything, if you don't know nothing about them, if your mind haven't been bathed in the knowledge about the Lord, what you see is just a statue. What you see is just marble, some nice cloth. You see some rings, diamonds, and gold, and variety of things. So to see the Lord actually means to hear about the Lord. Many times we've been speaking about how one enters Vrindavan, you should see Vrindavan through your ears. I didn't have the opportunity to be in Vrindavan, but those devotees which have been in Vrindavan have been mentioning that To have a vision of Vrindavan, material vision, is not so conducive. You can't see Vrindavan with your mundane eyes. But you should look at Vrindavan through hearing from a bona fide spiritual master, and through understanding that the true vision, the true chakshu, should be envisioned within the heart through Shravanam, through associating with the words of a pure devotee. So there's one very wonderful, very nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.15. Yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, yat ikshanam, yat vandanam, yat shravanam, yat ahranam. Lokasya syadavidmoti kalmasam, tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. Translation. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all auspicious Lord Sri Krishna, about whom glorification, remembrance, audience, prayers, hearing, and worship can at once cleanse the effects of all sins of the performer. So we can see how different processes of devotional service can ultimately lead us to the desired goal, to the prayojana. And the prayojana is to actually have that rasa, that relationship with the Supreme. Vishwa Chakravarti Thakur is commenting that all the impurities which are blocking our way and our path to unalloyed pure devotional service, which ends up in darshan of the Lord, are mitigated by variety of these points like remembrance, prayers, and hearing and worshipping the Lord. And there's one point, Yat Ikshanam refers to seeing the form of the deity. So it's one of the processes to see the Lord, to glorify the Lord. And as Bhagavatam is mentioning, that different portions of the body of the Lord represent the Bhagavatam. So you can simultaneously perform darshanam and simultaneously perform shravanam. Or you can also simultaneously remember. So Srimad Bhagavatam as the Amala Purana manifests itself after the departure of Lord Sri Krishna from this material world. But as we can see from the position of Archana Vigraha, from the position of the deity, we can see that how Srimad Bhagavatam and the Murti and the Archanam are actually no different. So when you have darshan of Krishna, you can simultaneously remember Srimad Bhagavatam. And how Srimad Bhagavatam should be understood? By Shravanam, by hearing. So process of seeing and hearing are very much simultaneous. It's on a similar line. Therefore, it's very important for us to understand that you cannot see with the material eyes. And only to purify these eyes, you should perform Shravanam, hearing. Prabhupada in the purport mentions that only from a bona fide spiritual master, the one who realized the Vedanta philosophy, one should perform this Shravanam. So as we know, the Veda means knowledge. Anta means conclusion. So Vedanta means the conclusion of all philosophy. And that means that Vedanta is actually non-different from Krishna himself. There's one very nice verse, again from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 2, verse 12, canto 1. The seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realized the absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Shruti. So many times, also part of the Apara Sampradayas, the Apara Sampradaya means the kind of a Sampradaya of a deviation. But our Sampradaya is based on Shruti and based on Vedanta philosophy. So when you kind of uphold the structure of Vedanta, there's no possibility of deviation. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned that simultaneously you should render devotional service and same time hear from the Vedanta Shruti. And in this form, as the Bhagavad Mark and the Pancharatri Kavidi, both of these lines are kind of holding us and grounding us in devotional service. So here in the translation, Yudhishthira Maharaj is glorifying the different attributes of Devarishi Narada. And these attributes are mentioned as, I don't know if you hear, there was twice mentioned in Bhagavan, right? There's Bhagavan Paradarshaka and Atha Bhabhashe Bhagavan. So how can we reconcile this? Ultimately, we understand that from the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's only one Bhagavan, right? Bhagavan, according to Parashara Muni, the father of Vyasadeva, needs to have the six attributes in fullness. Maybe we can do a bit of a recap. Can anyone tell me what are the six aspects of Bhagavan? Yes, Prabhu? Knowledge? Yes? Beauty? Renunciation? Opulence? Opulence? Okay. Strength? That was already mentioned. Yes. Yes, so these are the six aspects of Bhagavan. But why are we addressing these devotees as Bhagavan? Can anyone tell me any other Vaishnavas, any other personalities which in the Srimad Bhagavatam been addressed as Bhagavan? Narada Muni, yes, that's from this verse. Narada Muni is addressed as Bhagavan. Anyone else? Krishna, yes, Krishna is Bhagavan. Anyone else from the Srimad Bhagavatam? Lord Shiva, very good. Anyone else? Lord Brahma, okay. Anyone else? Who's the original reciter of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Vyasadev and his son? Sukadev Goswami. So Sukadev Goswami was also addressed as Bhagavan. So all these personalities which you mentioned, they have certain attributes which are manifesting in characteristics of the Bhagavan, as all you mentioned now, of fame, wealth, opulence, renunciation. So when a great devotee, when someone like Devarishi Narada, he's a kind of a Shakti Avesha avatar, a personification of bhakti. And that means he has certain traits or certain aspects of Bhagavan. For instance, renunciation, fame, wealth, knowledge. All of these attributes ultimately emanating from Krishna, but different Vaishnavas, they have their personification of these different attributes of Bhagavan. Therefore, we approach them in different ways. So, one of the verses which is establishing how someone who possessed these qualifications of Bhagavan is actually not part of this material world. From the Bhagavad Gita 14:26, we can see Mamcheo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samatitetan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in devotional service or in spiritual activities immediately transcends the three modes of material nature. So therefore, someone to be called Bhagavan, someone to have the attributes of Bhagavan, you need to understand that he's not part of this material world. So we can see, and Prabhupada many times was referring to it, that different people in this planet, they have certain mystic opulence, they have some yogic powers, and straight away they kind of mention about themselves, I am actually Bhagavan, I am the incarnation. But ultimately, they possess just one aspect of, or maybe two aspects of Bhagavan. But ultimately, Krishna is the possessor of all of these aspects. So in the 11th canto, is very, very nice verse, actually very nicely establishing how different personalities could possess certain portion of the energy of Bhagavan. Vasudevo Bhagavatam, Tvantu Bhagavatas Aham, King Purushanam Hanuman, Vidya Dharanam Sudarshanam. Among those entitled to the name Bhagavan, I am Vasudev. And indeed, you, Uddhava, represent me among the devotees. I am Hanuman amongst the King Purushas, and among the Vidyadharas, I am Sudarshan. And there is a commentary. The Vedic literature state that one who possesses perfect knowledge of the creation and destruction of all entities and who is completely situated in omniscience is to be known as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. Although many great personalities are sometimes called Bhagavan, ultimately, Bhagavan is the one who supreme, the supreme entity who possesses unlimited opulences. So, the translation that Prabhupada used in this specific verse, Bhagavan, is representative of the Lord, and Bhagavan, the godly personality. So, I think it was mentioned before that Krishna puts himself in a relation with different devotees and he takes the names. I think Sutapa Prabhu was mentioning this in one of his classes. So just like he takes names based on the relationship with different Vaishnavas, he also kind of gives the opportunity to different Vaishnavas to use his names as well. That's why different devotees are also referred to sometimes as Bhagavan. Prabhupada many times in the purport uses this term, pure devotee. He said that by studying the Vedanta philosophy from a pure devotee, by one associating with different characteristics like Shraddha, which means faith, Jnana, which means knowledge, and Vairagya, which means renunciation, one can become a pure devotee. So I've done a bit of research, and there are so many terms which are describing Jnana, which are describing knowledge. So Pandita, Swadhitam, Kavaya, Vidvita, Shikshita, Mahabudhi, all of these are names which are speaking about personality who possess knowledge. There's one verse, Bharata Bhumite Hala Manush Janmayar Janma Sataka Kari Karapara Upakar. This verse is very, Prabhupada uses this verse quite often. And this verse refers to those personalities who being born in a certain land, in the land of Bharatvarsha, that their ultimate duty is para upakar. So if you possess Shraddha or Jnana or Vairagya, your ultimate duty as a devotee is to have this para upakar always on your mind. So if someone could be called Bhagavan, if we had been listing certain personalities, they have one thing, many things actually in common, but one thing which stands out is that their ultimate meditation is para upakar. Especially Narada Muni, we've been glorifying Narada Muni last few days. The mood and meditation of Narada Muni as a Goshtananandi Vaishnava is para upakar, which means always giving, sharing, without any discrimination, the ultimate knowledge, the ultimate siddhanta, that you are not the body, you are soul. And ultimately, to establish a relationship with Krishna, you need to develop bhakti yoga. So that's actually the conclusion. That's the Vedanta. So the responsibility of our movement of ISKCON is actually to develop this mood of para upakar. And Srila Prabhupada was stressing over and over again. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita is mentioned as Bharata Bhumite, that land of Bharatvarsha, basically India. So I was thinking about this, that not everyone from ISKCON is part of Bharatvarsha. They haven't took birth in Bharatvarsha. And how can we reflect on this? So it's a certain kind of a social structure. And from this social structure, from this land, what emanates is different devotees, different Vaishnavas who should take up to the process. Well, what Srila Prabhupada done, you know, many scientists, many scholars, many philosophers and professors, they actually said that Srila Prabhupada was such a magnanimous personality because he took the culture of the Vedas, the culture of Sanatana Dharma, and implemented in the Western world in such a way that no one ever done it like this before. Never ever before the implementation of a science, philosophy and culture was done in a such a profound and non-violent way. Why I mentioned non-violent? Yesterday we had a conversation with Niskinchana Prabhu and we've been speaking how different conquerors around the globe, they've been conquering with fire, with destruction and with elimination of people. And this is how they've been implementing culture. Can anyone tell me any conquerors, great conquerors in the past? Genghis Khan, Alexander the Great, Kudruma Prabhu, Napoleon. All these personalities, they've been implementing their culture based on force. This was their so-called para upakar. Their para upakar was based on material structure. They thought that their para upakar is superior to the culture of someone else. Therefore, they've been enforcing by violence. But para upakar of Srila Prabhupada was something very, very, just something very unbelievable. What he done, one person, one man, took the culture, took the Paramatma within his heart, and implement the culture and philosophy, and ultimately Vedanta to the Western world. When Prabhupada was conquering, he was conquering not with weapons, but he was conquering with words, with his wonderful wit, with knowledge, and ultimately with the blessings of the Vaishnavas. So when we try to perform this greatest welfare, which is Paropakar, our meditation should be, first of all, bhajan. We cannot give what we do not possess. Therefore, bhajan is very important for us as a Vaishnavas. Therefore, if this whole quarantine is finished in one point, and I pray that it's very soon, then we should feel eager to actually do something, to go out. And now the soil is ready, the people are ready. Many devotees, we've been discussing that after this whole kind of a period, people are distressed and people are isolated. And what brings with isolation? Brings thoughts, brings meditation. Why this happened? How come this happened to me? How come now I actually feel that if I don't have association of others, I cannot be with myself? I cannot stand my mind. There are so many difficulties which are within my mind. So all these are actually very much fertile soil for a Vaishnava. Because now is the time when people are questioning, people are asking, and people are being humbled by the situations. Therefore, this is a very good opportunity for us to be there and facilitate the growth of others. So our mood and mission is the mood of mission of Para Upakar, the greatest of all welfares that we can give to others. So if we want to possess, or if we want to have the qualities of Bhagavan, which I think we should have that kind of a deep craving for this, not to become Bhagavan, but to become renounced, to become knowledgeable, then the greatest thing you can do is be part of this Para Upakar movement. So ultimately, the followers of Srila Prabhupada should definitely have this always on their mind. And as is mentioned, the renunciation is actually just a secondary product of actually seeing the goal of the mission. So if you look at the goal, if you look at the prayojana of ISKCON as a movement, it's actually preaching. And by putting yourself to this position of seeing the goal, seeing the preaching mission, all of the different aspects of Bhagavan are actually starting manifesting. The wealth comes, the fame comes, the renunciation is literally has to come. So there is a certain connection. And I think we can open it to for kind of like a discussion. How devotees feel about how is the process of disseminating this knowledge and giving this knowledge to others. What kind of fields we can explore, and what do you think is the greatest opportunity for us to see in this day and age? Because Srila Prabhupada, when he started writing his Back to Godhead magazine, if you read one of his first articles, these first articles of Back to Godhead, which Srila Prabhupada was writing, is very much reflecting on the modern day and age. Where is the society? And Prabhupada was always relevant. He was always relevant because in order to preach, you have to give people some kind of enthusiasm about the philosophy. Right? So let me ask you a question. Do we have the mic? We have the mic. What do you think now, the situation which we are in, how can we give this Para Upakar? What are the channels or ways we can share the Krishna consciousness? How would you do that? Yes, Sankirtan Priya Prabhu, School of Bhakti.
Of course.
School of Bhakti.
How did you know? You must have attended many of our courses. So that's how.
Attending the courses, yes, very nice. Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Gornitai ki.
Through social media?
Through social media, that's Parupakar. That's understanding that the social media should be nicely grabbed and used for service of Krishna. Thank you. Yes. Any other points? Any other devotees? Mataji over there, if you can pass it.
Because I heard what Srila Prabhupada said this morning, and sometimes what Srila Prabhupada says is against the rules of society, so I'm for that we go all to the streets in all the countries, all Vaishnavas, just go and surrender like that and be inspiration for many people.
Yes, we should definitely surrender. We should definitely be an inspiration. But also in this process, Radha Govinda Prabhu was mentioning yesterday a very nice point that our behavior should not be a disturbance to others. So we should use our knowledge and intelligence according to time, place and circumstances and implement this science and philosophy according to what people can digest and what are the norms.
Yeah, but people now are disturbed anyway. They need the guidance so much. They are so much disturbed. They need guidance.
Let them be disturbed for a moment, and then when the time comes, definitely the philosophy may be presented. So according to time, place and circumstances, we should always preach. Srila Prabhupada, for instance, I don't know if it was here in the Bhaktivedanta manor, but there was one gentleman who was like a driver, like a professional driver. And what Srila Prabhupada done, rather than just pumping philosophy into him, what Srila Prabhupada was doing, he was just talking with him. Just, we can say it's a mundane talk, but he was establishing a friendship and a relationship with someone. So why should people follow someone who doesn't care about them? So in this way, Srila Prabhupada established a relationship with someone, and in that point, when the person felt something, Srila Prabhupada started giving the philosophy. So we can only accept if we are willing to accept. Because as we mentioned many times before, that the mind is very tricky, and thinking, feeling and willing are the different aspects of the mind. And only people which have very strong intelligence can overcome the kind of feelings and emotions of the mind. And not everyone is on this platform. Therefore, part of being an intelligent person means understanding the position of others. And based on that we can preach. So, for instance, if I can share some kind of Sankirtan stories with you. Some of the devotees, many times, like when you go outside, the very good thing is always ask what they do. Like, oh, you're a student, or you're working, what kind of a field you're working in. And based on this, you can connect him to Krishna consciousness. Because why should I speak about, you know, renunciation, Narada Muni, and ultimate, some very heavy philosophy, if this person is a butcher? Sometimes, because they're kind of a material contamination, it couldn't come to this point, couldn't understand. So based on the level of people, you give them the para upakar, and that requires buddhi, that requires intelligence. So in Sri Shikshastakam, Cheto darpana marjanam bhava maha davagni nivarpanam shreya kairava chandrika vitaranam vidya vadu jivanam ananda buddhi vardhanam pratipadam purna mrtasvadanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. All glories to the Sri Krishna Sankirtana, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguished the fire of conditioned life, of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtana movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large, because it spreads the rays of benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So this one is indicating that this Shravanam, this hearing and this remembering of Krishna's pastimes relieve us from anxiety and give us the greatest bliss. But also, this Prabhupada was mentioning quite often that if you give this philosophy to someone who's envious, he'll be hissing like a snake. So it literally defies the purport. Defines the kind of a meaning of what we're trying to do. So sometimes to be a Vaishnava means just to be polite devotee, just polite gentleman, rather than giving philosophy.
How about when so was written an article where were many critical moments for our movement, but Srila Prabhupada still said it's good because it will involve many Krishna's names. So how about this preaching?
We should always try to leave people with good impression, because these samskaras, these imprints, could be good or could be bad. Ultimately, they have also, in negativity, they're doing some spiritual progress. But our goal is to leave good samskaras, good positive kind of impressions.